All right, so here we go. We have something for you. These guys got some muscle and brawn up here, and some teachers are coming up and staff members to help pass out. Like everybody to receive this little packet. If you are in starting in fifth grade on up, just kind of raise your hand, and they'll get one passed out to you. You can go that way. Hey, Benjamin, Mrs. Freshour, I'll go with you. Mrs. Price, there you go. So everybody, fifth grade on up, if you would make sure that you get one. It is a very dangerous thing to pass out reading material before you're about ready to preach the sermon, I know. So when you get here, just kind of hang on to it for a second. Just, I know it's going to be tempting to start peeking and looking through it. Let me just, if you would, let me walk you through what this is all about. I'll get to that in just a second. I'm going to ask today for two commitments, but let me give a little background first. For those of you maybe who are our guests and aren't aware of everything that's been happening here, last fall, our congregation voted to form a building committee and to make a plan for an expansion of our facilities. And next Sunday, we're going to get to hear all about that. They're going to make their report, tell us all about the scope of it and the cost of it, et cetera. And we're going to get to see that and take a look at that. But this journey is bigger than a building project. This is about our mission. It's about what happens in those spaces. It's about increasing our capacity to reach more families and more children with the love of Jesus. But this journey is also bigger than our early childhood and school ministry. As you heard in the video, this is about everything God is calling us to do as a Trinity family over these next couple of years, including the work that we want to do outside of our walls. Now, the other thing we voted to do last fall is we said that we would take a generosity journey together, and that's what we're doing. Because we want to be generous people, and we want to support everything the Lord is doing here in our family. And so, if you would, now go ahead and open up your little booklet, and inside you're going to find this card. It's a commitment card. I, of course, am not asking you to fill this out today. Please don't. But here's the first commitment I would ask. If you call Trinity your home, would you today commit to making a commitment? What I mean by that is take this home and look it over, talk about it, pray about it, and begin to ask, Jesus, what are you asking me, what are you asking our family to do to participate in all of this? Commit to making a commitment. But this journey is not just about making a financial commitment or about what we give to Trinity. This journey is about being generous people because we trust the Lord. We believe that our God supplies everything that we need. In our personal lives, we believe that he's going to give us everything that we need together as a church. And we trust him. So we want to be generous people, not just at Trinity. We want to be generous people everywhere, to everyone, and with everything we've got. But this journey is not just about the topic of generosity. Generosity is just one virtue or fruit that comes out of a life of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's why our theme is fan the flame. Yes, we want to fan the flame of our mission. Yes, we want to fan the flame of our generosity. But above all, what we want to do is, as Paul says in 2 Timothy 1, we want to fan the flame of the gift of God that is in you, each of us. The faith and the love that the Holy Spirit has put in you. That's what this journey is all about. So now, if you would, go ahead and open up that book again. First thing, if you just put your name in it, underneath the table of contents, there's a little place to put your name on it. This is yours to keep, and also, would you please bring it with you each week during this journey? You're going to need it. What you're going to find in this booklet is all kinds of tools. It's sort of like a map or a guide for this journey. All kinds of things, like what are our goals? What's a little bit of our history as a church? There's some great stories in here of the impact that God has made in people's lives. But you'll also find, if you look at the very bottom of the table of contents, page 20, that there's a place in this booklet for sermon notes each week and then the small group study that we're going to do together as a church. Here's the second commitment I'd ask you to make today. Whether you call Trinity your home, or if you're a guest, I would invite you to make this commitment and come and join us for the next 5 weeks. The commitment is to be here. To be here and come and listen to these messages. If you have to be out of town for a week, I had somebody come up to me like, "Pastor, next week we got tickets to the Bruce Springsteen concert. We're going to be out of town. I got to go to Syracuse." Like, that's awesome. That's awesome. And she said, "But I promise, I will listen. I'll go back and listen to the sermon." So if you would be committed to the next 5 weeks of coming and being in worship, if you have to be out of town, would you go back and listen to the messages? And then the next 4 out of these 5 weeks, would you please get into one of these small groups? Because if you want to fan the flame of your faith, one of the best ways that we do that is being in community with each other, being connected to and in conversation with fellow Christians. And you'll have a chance to sign up for one of those if you haven't already after worship. So again, 2 commitments. If you call Trinity your home, would you commit to making a commitment? And second of all, would you all, guest and member alike, would you commit to these next 5 weeks and taking this journey with us? So if you want to go ahead now and open up your booklet to page 21, there's a spot there to take notes during this sermon, and I would encourage you please to do that. And let's open with a little bit of a prayer, not just for today, but for this whole journey in front of us. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of these, your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Amen. Amen. Okay, so in the gospel reading today, the very beginning said the 2 reported what happened on the way. What's that about? Well, these are the 2 who were on their way out. It's Easter afternoon. They're leaving Jerusalem. They're headed to the village of Emmaus. And they are deeply distressed. They are disappointed. They're very discouraged by what had happened to Jesus on Good Friday. They're asking themselves, "We thought he was the one." But then Jesus pulls up right alongside them, starts walking with them, and he's talking with them. And he opens the scriptures to them, and then eventually it says he breaks the bread with them. And then that's when their eyes are open. It's Jesus. And the 2 of them ask a sort of rhetorical question that every one of us needs to ask. And it's at the top of your page there, on top of page 21, Luke 24, 32. Would you read this out loud with me, please? They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" Is your heart burning within you? Is my heart burning in me? If Jesus is the Son of God, and now if he is raised from the dead, if Jesus opened the scriptures for us and he speaks to each of us personally, if Jesus breaks the bread and he comes to us, how can our hearts not be on fire? But, and here's the scary part, sometimes they're not. It is possible for our hearts to not be on fire. It is possible for us to encounter Jesus in his word and in this sacrament, to receive Holy Communion, but nothing really changes with us. It is possible for us to know that Jesus is raised from the dead, but to not live like it. It is possible, friends, that we could raise over $6 million or more, and we could build buildings and do all kinds of great things, but not know Jesus. It's possible. But raise your hand if you want your heart to be on fire for Jesus. Would you just keep them up for a second? Come, Holy Spirit, and fan the flame in these hearts. Amen? Amen. If you want to have a fire, you got to have three things. You want to write these down, if you would, please? This is the outline for the sermon. You got to have heat, number one, heat, fuel, and oxygen. Heat, fuel, and oxygen. If you don't have any of these things, take any one of them away, you're not going to have a fire. Got to have all three. All right, so number one, heat. In our first reading, Peter brings the heat. He's talking to the crowds, and he says to them, you handed Jesus over to Pontius Pilate. You chose that murderer, Barabbas, over Jesus. You killed the author of life. You say that you believe in the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but you killed his son. Yow! Hot! Ouch! Some of us don't have the fire because we don't like the heat. We don't like to confront hard truths in our lives. And so what we do is when we hear them, we make excuses, we blame other people, or we're just stubborn, I ain't gonna listen to that. And our hearts are cold, icy cold. Sometimes we know the truth, but we choose to be ignorant. We choose it. But then, of course, there are times when we just don't know. Maybe this whole thing about Jesus and church, all of this is very, very new to you. What I love is what Peter says. He says, here's the truth. This is what you did to Jesus, but you acted in ignorance. Ignorance doesn't mean you're stupid. No. Ignorance means you just don't know. The question, though, is that once you do know, once you know the truth, what are you going to do? You ever had a time in your life where you're going along through life, like, hey, I think life's going pretty good, everything's good, this is awesome, you know, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, like, bam, you get smacked with the truth, and it's hard, and you got to confront it, and you say, man, something's got to change. That's what Peter's saying. Here's what you did to Jesus. Bam! That's the truth. But change. Repent. Be converted so that you can receive the forgiveness of sins. God does not want to confront you with the truth because he just wants to condemn you and criticize you and put you down and just make you feel terrible about yourself. No, the truth. When we're confronted with the truth, it should warm up. It should sort of thaw out those hearts of ours and wake us up to a deeper truth. Here's the truth. Here's what you did. Bam! But here's a deeper truth. Here's what he did. Here's what he did for you. You are forgiven. That means you can change. You can really and truly change. Peter is only echoing what Jesus prayed on the cross. It wasn't just the soldiers who put the nails in. Here's the truth. Every sin you commit, every sin that I commit, hammers the nails into Jesus' hands and feet. Here's the deeper truth. What did Jesus say? As the nails are going in, he prays, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. There's the heat. There's the heat that warms our hearts. Number two, you got to have the fuel. There's got to be something to burn, right? So in our second reading, John says this, those who say, I know him, but do not keep his commandments are liars, and the truth is not in them. Ouch, that hurts too, doesn't it? You got no fuel, is what he's saying. There is no substance to your faith. You say, oh, I believe. Yeah, well, you know what? It doesn't look like it. You're living a lie. You know who doesn't lie? You know what doesn't lie? Your Amazon purchase history does not lie. Right? Because where you spend your money, that says what you value. It's what you want. Your calendar doesn't lie. Where you spend your time is where you spend your heart. Your family, the people who love you and know you, don't lie. You might say, yeah, they do. No, they don't lie. You might be able to fool everybody else. They live with you. They know you. They know the truth. Jesus says multiple times, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And that's why John goes on in verse 5 and says, whoever keeps his word, the love of God is truly perfected in him or her. Now notice that John doesn't say that you've got to be perfect in order to be loved. A lot of us really struggle with that, don't we? You think you're a pleaser. You're trying to please somebody. You're trying to be perfect. And you think that's how they love me and that's how they approve of me. No, that's not what he says. He says we are being perfected in love. None of us is perfect. Our love is not perfect. But did John say Jesus is our accuser? Our adversary? You're terrible. You do this wrong and that wrong. And blah, blah, blah. Is that what Jesus? No. You know, he said Jesus is our advocate. What does that mean? Jesus, who's risen from the dead, has now ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of the Father. And as he is at the right hand of his Father, he looks down on us and says, Fathers, you see that goof down there? His name's Spencer. He messes up. A lot. But you know what, Father? I died for that guy. I'm not done with him yet. And I love him so much. And the father right next to him looks at his son and goes, yeah, I know. I love him too. That's the fuel of love. Number three, you got to have oxygen. Did you know that oxygen is not flammable? Doesn't burn? I did not know that, or I forgot about that. Which is probably why I'm better off being a pastor than a scientist, I realize, but you know, oxygen does not burn. You know what oxygen does in the fire? Oxygen sets off the chemical reaction at ignition between the heat and the fuel. And it causes this chemical reaction, and then of course makes the fire burn, the fuel burn more rapidly. So that's why when you have a burst of oxygen, it's explosive, or why the wind causes a wildfire to rush across the prairie. And it's also why then when you snuff out a candle and eliminate the oxygen, well, it suffocates it. The disciples, back in the gospel reading, were in lockdown. They were up in that upper room, the doors, the windows, they're all shut in and locked in. John, who we heard last week, he tells us the same story, just a different version of it. He tells us last week that they were locked up because they were afraid. They're full of fear. Luke, as we heard today, confirms that because he says they're still full of fear even when Jesus shows up and he's there in the room with them. Fear suffocates your faith. It snuffs it out. In fact, maybe you want to write this down. Fear is never from the Lord. Whatever it is that is you're afraid of, whatever that fear is not from the Lord. You might be facing something very tough. It is scary. The Lord doesn't bring you fear. The Lord brings you faith. How many times does Jesus say to the disciples and to us, don't be afraid. Peace be with you. In fact, this theme verse, hold your spot there if you would on page 21. Flip back to the inside cover real quick if you would. There's our theme verse, 2 Timothy 1. Would you read it out loud with me? For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Maybe you want to underline that. Not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. What I love in this story is that just as Jesus pulled up alongside those two disciples who were so discouraged, what does Jesus do? In the midst of this room that is all locked up, it's suffocating with fear, Jesus just comes once again to his disciples. Peace be with you. And he tells them, see me. In fact, touch me. Touch my hands and my feet, those nail holes. You know, give me a piece of fish. Let me eat it. I'm going to prove to you. I'm going to show you. I'm not a ghost. It is I myself. The Greek language there point is making a point. When Jesus says that, that is the divine name. If you're familiar with the Old Testament, the words, it is I myself, that's Yahweh. I am who I am. Not only then does Jesus come into this locked room, it says he goes on to open the scriptures to them so that they could understand. All the doors and the windows of their hearts and their minds, he opens that up and he breathes the fresh wind of his Holy Spirit into them. As we heard John tell the story last week, Jesus shows up, he says, peace be with you, and then he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Whoosh, fire. What are you afraid of? What is your fear? Your fear is not from the Lord. And Jesus comes to you today and says, don't be afraid. It is I myself. I'm here with you. I'm walking with you. I love you. Do you need to touch me? You know what? I will touch you in this Eucharist. Let me open up the doors and the windows of your heart and your mind and breathe into you the fresh wind of my Holy Spirit. Do you want your heart to be on fire for Jesus? He wants to give you these things. What's missing? Is it the heat? Is it the fuel? Is it the oxygen? Maybe it's all three. He wants to bring all of these things to you, and he wants to start right now, today. If you want your heart to be on fire, would you just pray with me for a moment? You can set your books down, close your eyes, but open up your hearts. Jesus, bring the heat of your truth and change me. Jesus, bring the fuel of your love. I don't want to just say I believe in you. I want to live like it. Jesus, bring the oxygen. Breathe your Holy Spirit into me and blow out of me all of my fears. I want to burn for you, Jesus. Amen.